Randy Rhoads Show.
Well, it is the Randy Rhoads Show, but it is not from the nation's capital. It is now coming from South Florida, and I'm not Randy Rhoads. I'm Nicole Sandler, in for Randy. She had, you know, she's getting ready to make her move back to South Florida. And again, we're going to deal with that in the next hour. Because as thrilled as I am that Randy's coming back to Florida, because we really need her voice here, the rest of the country hasn't heard enough about our insane new governor. So we'll fill you in the next hour. Got still lots of time for your phone calls coming up, but we're in information mode right now. And, well, you know, we're watching. The last time I was in for Randy was the day after the big earthquake in Japan. Remember that? And, you know, I was, it happened overnight for us here in the U.S., and I said, watch out, this is going to be bad. And one of the first calls I took that day was from someone almost chastising me and saying, oh, you know, don't blow it out of proportion. And, you know, you're making a big thing out of it. And I said, it's a 9.0 earthquake, and there's a nuclear reactor there. With everything, this is a disaster. And the news is just starting to trickle out. Well, in the past week or two now, it's gone from bad to worse. And, you know, one of the big problems is you don't know who to believe. The Japanese government is as bad as the U.S. government is. I'm sorry. You can't believe what they tell you. One of the guys who's doing a great job in covering what is going on at the Fukushima nuclear power plant, and as I'm saying, I don't think we should call them nuclear power plants anymore. I think we should call them plants of mass destruction. But I digress. Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog also produces a twice-a-week green news report. He and his partner Desi Doyen do a great job talking about things that affect our planet. And this, well, fits that. Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog joins us. Hey, Brad, how are you doing today?
Hey, Nicole. Another slow news week, huh?
Yeah, you know, what the? There hasn't been a slow news week in the last couple of years.
How do you talk radio people come up with something to talk about every day?
I don't know. It's so hard. You know, I remember it used to be I would dread August because nothing would happen. But can you remember the last couple of Augusts?
I mean, they're just as bad as every other month of the year, right now. It's 24/7, and it's getting worse. It's amazing.
Now the problem is it's hard to figure out what we should talk about. I mean, you know, there's just so many things, but the latest news that we're hearing now, there may be a core meltdown at one of these reactors in Japan. I'd say that's worthy of discussion right now.
You think? Yeah. In fact, there's been concerns about core meltdowns at least three of the nuclear reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi plant over the last 2 weeks. And it's very difficult to get information, not just because of what you mentioned, that the Japan government may be forthcoming, may not be. I sense that they are having trouble getting information themselves, because often the information coming out from the Japan government, it conflicts with the information coming from Tokyo Electric Power Company. That's TEPCO. So it's very difficult to figure out, you know, which is the accurate information.
Hold on, Brad Friedman, because I just have this overwhelming feeling of deja vu all over again. And I know that's redundant. I understand. Mm-hmm. But let's just go back to, almost a year ago. April 20th will be the one-year anniversary of the BP disaster, right? Or two-year anniversary.
Yeah.
April 20th, it happened on Earth Day. Mm-hmm. And, it was BP who led everything. They're the ones who disseminated the information. They're the ones who led the cleanup. Is this what's happening in Japan? Is TEPCO the ones overseeing cleanup and everything at the Fukushima plants?
Yes, it is TEPCO in charge. About a week into the disaster, into the nuclear part of this disaster, Japanese Prime Minister Naoto Kan got really frustrated with TEPCO, and he said he was going to form a joint task force between the government and TEPCO, and that Kan himself would be heading up that task force. But yes, It does sound very, very familiar, doesn't it? And it's equally as questionable what the outcome will actually be and what will happen afterwards. You know, we had a report on our Green News report this week, which folks can listen to at greennews.bradblog.com, that support for nuclear power since this disaster is way down, is about 20 points down at the moment. But I also recall similar numbers about offshore drilling during the BP disaster, and those have changed somewhat since then, and a year ago might as well be 10 years ago. It seems like people have forgotten. We're again opening up offshore drilling. So I have the same fears that the same may happen here with this nuclear disaster, even though it still continues, and in this case, maybe poisoning land at least around the Fukushima plant for decades at this point to come. We don't know now, but scientists are looking at, you know, the data that is coming out, and it, the area around Fukushima at least, may be uninhabitable for decades hereafter. Right now, the latest science from both Austrian and U.S. scientists suggests that some 50% of the cesium-137, very dangerous, very radioactive element with a long 30-year half-life, cesium-137, 50% of the amount that emitted from Chernobyl has already come out of Fukushima. And this disaster, though there are some, there has been some progress of late, this disaster is not over by a long shot. So the poison, the toxin that we're talking about that may be occurring, living in the environment around Fukushima and perhaps around Japan as a whole, may be going on for decades at this point.
And who would think anything different? I mean, look, you've got, there are four reactors there at Fukushima, and there are problems with
six.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Okay. And there are problems with all of them. They had exposed spent fuel rods. And sorry, that's sort of a euphemism for nuclear waste. That is the main problem. Mm-hmm. There's no way to dispose of this stuff. It has a half-life of a million years. I mean, it doesn't go away.
Yes.
As the song says, plutonium is forever. And because of the explosions resulting from the earthquake and the tsunami, these things were exposed. They're not encased in anything except they sit in the concrete building that the reactor is housed in. But once the roof of those concrete buildings were blown off, those things are exposed. And we've learned that these rods were the pools of water that they're supposed to be kept in to keep them somewhat cool dried up. The water boiled out.
That's right. And as I started to say before, that, you know, it's sort of this shroud of war, in a sense, going on around the plant because mm-hmm. a lot of these reactors, the radiation is too high to get close enough to them to figure out exactly what the hell is going on. You've got essentially the first units 1 through 3, those reactors, have containment vessels, steel containment vessels, with the rods in them. That's the reactor itself. That is surrounded by a concrete containment. Then you're right. Outside of that, we've got these spent fuel pools that sit there essentially protected by nothing other than the water that is or isn't covering them. And right now they're injecting seawater into all four of those reactors 1 through 4, trying to keep them covered. But we have word this morning that the containment vessel, that's the steel containment vessel at Unit 3, may in fact be cracked at this point. The problem is, yesterday we had 3 workers at Unit 3 who were trying to restore power there, who stepped into radioactive water. 2 of them had to be sent to the hospital with radiation burns on their feet and ankles, with the radiation in that water said to be anywhere from 10,000 to 100,000 times higher than the legal level. And officials right now are not sure where that high radiation is coming from. Is the containment unit cracked, which would suggest a meltdown could be occurring inside the radiation unit, or is it coming from the spent fuel pools that you talked about? Is that pool cracked and leaking radioactive water now into the environment?
And the really sick thing about this, Brad Friedman, is that there's no way that, you know, they can't do anything with it. There's nowhere on the planet they can put it to get it, somewhere where it would be safe. There is nothing safe about nuclear power.
Well, there isn't, but it can be theoretically contained if they can get the water covering those spent fuel pools, and if they can get the water cooling pumping systems working again. They now have electricity to all six of the reactors. Only the last two, five and six, are actually working as far as circulating cool water. The first four, they're still manually putting in water in as much as they can. They have to keep evacuating the site when black smoke occurs from one of the units or the radiation level suddenly spikes and they don't know why. So they have power back to those units, but the pumping systems were knocked out by the earthquake and the tsunami and the ensuing explosions thereafter. So they've got electricity. They're trying to rewire, but in fact, that's what those three workers were doing when they were poisoned by that radioactive water, trying to rewire the pumping systems. So we also have word late today, by the way, that the U.S. Army now, or U.S. Navy at least, will be trying to bring in clear, fresh water and new pumping systems, because the seawater they're currently using to try to keep those rods cool leaves behind a lot of salt when it burns off. So you've got tons and tons of salt now in those pools, now corroding the pipes.
Right. Well, that's the thing. The salt water will corrode the pipes, so that makes them even more unstable.
Yeah, and makes it essentially impossible for, or more difficult for the water that is in those units to keep those zirconium rods filled with uranium and plutonium, to keep the water from keeping those rods cool. Those rods themselves may now have melted down because we're finding zirconium-95 from those rods now seen in the seawater around the plant there. Yeah. And that doesn't even deal with the tap water issues.
Right. If it's in the seawater, it's getting into the food chain. And, yes, the tap water, of course, they've already been warned that infants should not be drinking it. And the earthquake and tsunami alone were a big enough disaster, bigger than anybody or any country should ever have to deal with. This, though that is a natural occurrence, there's nothing you can do about it. This was entirely avoidable, and that's what's so frustrating. Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog is with us. Hold on a moment. If you've got a question for Brad about this, feel free to join in. 866-87-RANDY is the number. 866-877-2634. I'm Nicole Sandler, in for Randy Rhodes. Brad Friedman's going to stick around for the next segment, so you stick around, too. We'll be right back.
Randy Rhodes.
Make your voice heard. Call 866-87-RANDY. Now, back to Randy Rhodes.
All right, it is Nicole Sandler in for Randy Rhodes. Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog is still with us. Brad's been doing a great job keeping us up to date on what's happening in Japan at that Fukushima nuclear power plant. You know, what's the real tragedy here? One of the many tragedies. We should be talking about the huge disaster in terms of the earthquake and the tsunami. But instead, we're focusing on this man-made disaster that didn't have to happen. This, it is a meltdown of whatever magnitude at the Fukushima nuclear power plant. It is really bad, and it could be exponentially worse. And that's not even, the other real crazy thing is that, at least after the BP mess, they did put a temporary moratorium on new deep water drilling here in U.S. waters. They're not even blinking when it comes to the construction of new nuclear power plants, or as I call them, plants of mass destruction, Brad, right? The president's saying, oh, we're just going to keep moving forward, isn't it?
Unfortunately, that has been the case in this country. We're moving forward. There's a 90-day review that he has asked the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission to do of safety of the plants, a longer review as well. But in Germany, they have put a moratorium on new plants. In China, they have done the same.
In Switzerland, they have done the same.
Yeah. In the U.S., however, not so much. And, in fact, I was interviewing Greg Palast last week.
I did, too. Yes, I had him on my show as well.
Oh, good. Yeah, as a former government investigator of these nuclear plants and the fraud that they committed, he's reporting that the two new nuclear plants slated now for Texas, for the Gulf Coast of Texas, are actually supposed to be led by Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, the very same company whose reactors are currently melting down in Fukushima. But you're right. A lot of people have talked about the fact that this nuclear crisis has taken focus away from the certainly, I don't want to say the bigger picture, but the idea that, in fact, some 27,000 people are estimated to be dead, either dead or missing at this point. And to put that into perspective, I did some math last night. And that would be, if you compare the population of Japan to the U.S., we're talking about 68,000 lives lost in one day in this country. If the same thing happened here, can only imagine, you know, who we would have to go to war with if that happened, to bomb tsunamis or something. And to further appreciate the size of the disaster, right now they're talking about the costs as being $300 billion. Compare that with Katrina, which was a paltry $81 billion.
Right. No, this is, we have not yet, you know, been able to grok the enormity of this, if you know what I mean. Daniel is calling from Amherst, Mass., has a question for you. Hey, Daniel, you're on the Randy Rhoads Show with Nicole and Brad Friedman.
Yeah, hello, Nicole and Brad. Brad, I had a question. I was wondering, with the Price-Anderson Act, which causes every U.S. taxpayer to pay the liability insurance on the nuclear industry, it's my understanding that if this one law was to be undone, no new nuclear power plant would ever be built ever again in America. So the rallying cry that I would really love, and maybe you can say if this is a good idea or not, is, you know, if all the big cat environmental groups put the Price-Anderson Act on the chopping block and said, you know, in a couple of years we're going to kill this law, would that really have the effect of stopping the future of nuclear power here in America?
I had trouble hearing which law that was, Nicole.
I'm sorry. It's called the Price-Anderson Act.
The Price-Anderson Act. Because basically there is not an insurance company on the planet that will insure a nuclear power plant. You and I are the insurers. So you're saying, Daniel, that if we could kill this law that says we will insure nuclear power plants, they couldn't get built because they can't get insurance.
Right. Yeah. Essentially, nuclear power is the most expensive way in the world to boil water. Nobody will guarantee the safety of these plants, so the U.S. government has to do it. They are the ones guaranteeing these loans. If they stop guaranteeing the loans to build these plants, then yes, nuclear plants will not be built in this country.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, so what would it, like when I asked this of Amory Lovins, he said that every current nuclear power plant is grandfathered in to the Price-Anderson Act.
Those have all outlived their life expectancy, and they're still being licensed to continue operating. I don't know about the Price-Anderson Act, but that's a good one to look into. Brad, will you do that?
I will try, yeah. They were all built, the current ones, all built before 1970, but Obama is talking about building a whole bunch more at a few weeks ago.
I hear you. Brad Friedman, find out more about what's happening in Japan and with the nuclear industry at bradblog.com and greennews.bradblog.com. Brad, thanks for staying on top of this story. I really appreciate you checking in with us today.
Thank you, Nicole.
Turn up your mind here now. This is the Randy Rhoads Show.